Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help in football.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed in his old man's hair. We need a live, was it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Feels like the summer wind's blowing in today. We're watching the Pac-12 tournament now. The first game just wrapped up. USC and Washington. Washington's the top seed.
Maybe the dumbest play I've seen in quite some time.
This is wild. So Washington almost just lost. They have wrapped up the win. 78-75 is the final. But so it was 77-75. USC fouled down two. The Washington player went to the free throw line, made the first to make it 78-75. Then he missed the second free throw. So USC grabs the rebound. No timeouts left. There's 8 seconds left on the clock, and a USC big guy grabs the rebound, starts dribbling it up the floor. No guards come to take the ball from him, so he doesn't really know what to do. It's like that awkward Ricky Bobby, what do I do with my hands? He gets just about to half court, picks up his dribble, jumps up in the air, quickly realizes he doesn't know where he wants to go with it, and chucks the ball out of bounds. That was USC's final possession.
That also sums up the bribery scandal.
That sums up the Pac-12 basketball season, I think, in a nutshell right
Is that
there.
Lori Loughlin's son? Are we sure he's a basketball player?
I'm not buying that. He never played basketball in his life. So USC lost, not getting a chance on their last possession, 78-75. The final, Oregon State is next up. They play at 2:30. By the way, on that Lori Loughlin thing, did you see her daughter, who is the one who was they bribed, obviously, to get into USC as like a crew player?
She, by the way, is gorgeous.
Yeah, she was on the yacht of the, I believe, USC chancellor. Is that what it was?
Trustee board, yeah,
yeah,
something.
Some higher up at USC. He owns a yacht, because of course he does. And they were all him. He has a daughter too, who's friends with her daughter, and they were all on a yacht in the Bahamas when this news broke.
Guess what happened?
He quickly said, "You should probably get off my yacht. This is not a good look. I don't want you to come back to the States."
They're on to what's going on now. I can't have you on my boat anymore. I will go to prison. Did you see what her dad did? So her dad, by the way, I did not know Lori Loughlin was married to a fashion designer.
I didn't know it until this story broke, yeah.
He way out-kicked his coverage. Like, congratulations to that guy.
He's not a good-looking guy. I haven't seen a picture of him yet.
He's not ugly. Like, okay. He's a normal-looking guy, but okay. It looks like somebody that used to watch Full House in his teens, and he was like, "I'm going to marry Lori Loughlin," and I was like, "No chance.
I want to marry Aunt Becky."
And he did.
Yeah.
But the story came out that he was caught. They caught him that he went to Augusta and went to the Masters with one of the USC ADs. Now, they don't know if it was Lynn Swann or Hayden, but my money is heavily on Pat Hayden.
Well, Pat Hayden is he was an Augusta member.
Yeah.
And there was transcripts of the conversations that they had about a million, like how much was it going to take to pull the strings that they needed to pull. And Pat Hayden said, "Oh, yeah, $1 million should be enough." So there's your latest on
Reggie,
the college scandal.
Reggie Bush's parents are the worst people ever.
Yeah, Reggie Bush, if anything happens out of this, it's a positive. It should be that USC's hypocrisy in the USC or in the Reggie Bush scandal should be highlighted, and all that crap should be lifted, and he should be allowed to go to a USC football game again.
People at USC are very prideful of being a USC. We are SC. There's not a lot to be happy about right now. Their football team sucks. Their basketball team sucks.
Yep.
They've got this bribery scandal. Their president was fired.
Not good for the condoms
It's looking real bad for USC right now.
Some holes in those condoms. Hey, Swags Plum's coming up in 10 minutes. We'll get back to the NFL at the bottom of the hour. There are some baseball rule changes that have happened. Are we ready for these? Now, I'll rattle through the ones that are happening in 2019. I don't think people really care about these, so I'll just throw them out there. The trade deadline is officially July 31st.
I like that.
So no more of those, because remember, there's the deadline.
Extra trades, yeah.
You have to clear waivers. It's a whole non-waiver trade deadline stuff. That's gone, so you have to make a trade by July 31st. So
the players are behind this, too, because they believe it will help spur the free agent market in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
Because teams don't feel like, oh, well, we can wait until the end of the season, pick somebody up cheap off the, you know, that gets released. So that's why, that's the incentive for the players.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Mound visits without a pitching change. Remember, that was the new rule. You can only have 6 a game. That's now down to 5.
That's fine.
It's only one different.
But they do think by 2020, that's going to get cut down to 4.
Yeah, there's in the Atlantic League proposals, they don't want any mound visits. The Major League Baseball is cutting the half-inning breaks down to 2 minutes.
They're cutting 20 seconds off, so whatever. Cool.
That's not a big deal. Fan voting for the All-Star game, they're doing that stupid election thing, so that's happening.
They're going to change that because they're going to realize it's not very...
Yeah, they're going to do a $1 million prize, I believe, for the Home Run Derby champion.
Yeah,
that's
for a bonus,
part of this.
So that's cool.
So they're doing that. If that matters to you at
all. Trying to
entice... Are they going to donate that money, or they're actually just going to give these guys $1 million?
I think there's a bonus pool or something.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there's a home run.
I think they're trying to make sure they get all the big home run hitters in. It doesn't turn into the dunk contest.
Yeah, they want to make sure the big name guys still show up. So, I mean, rich people getting $1 million, people don't care about it, but as long as the competition ends up being good, not a big deal, right? Well, the big ones are coming in 2020, and here's where we go. So we'll start with the ones that aren't a huge deal. One is they're increasing roster size from 25 to 26. Nobody really has a huge problem with that.
Here's what I think that's preparing for: universal DH to come.
Okay, that could be it. I also think, you also have part of it being the controversial rule change, and that is that starting in 2020, the Players Association is not necessarily agreed to this provision, but they're also saying they're not going to challenge this provision. All pitchers must face at least 3 batters when entering a game.
Or complete the half inning.
At the end of the inning. So the only two examples where you don't have to, or is at the end of an inning or an injury. If you injure your arm, something happens where your ankle, you can come out of the game, or you come in to get the third out, bases loaded situation. You don't have to come back and face the first two guys. So an inning changing, you can change pitchers.
So with that, do you like it?
No, I hate this rule. It's stupid.
Okay.
And it does nothing.
Joe Madden was pretty upset by it too.
Every baseball man is, the only people happy about this are hitters. Because you're now going to, and we talked to Darwin Barney about this the other day.
See, I thought there might have been a provision where if the hitting team puts in a pinch hitter that switches the sides of the plate, you could make a pitching change.
There should.
See, that's where I'd like to see the caveat in there.
Yeah, because you could have a guy
if
that comes in.
If they stick with the same lineup, then okay. But no, that anything, I know they're trying to get, or... The other one that I heard, there might have been a caveat where only through the first 7 innings. They're trying to eliminate the idea of the starter where the first guy comes out and he just gets the leadoff guy out of the first two guys out of a game, and then they go to they bring in the next pitcher.
Well, and you have a lot of guys, you have a lot of managers that use this kind of strategy late in games too. Like, as a Giants fan, Bruce Bochy used this in all 3 World Series runs. Like, this was a huge... asset that they had, where you have lefties that are good against lefties and righty pitchers that are good against righties.
Well, and
you
also
would play matchups every time.
And it benefits teams who have quality depth in their starting rotation.
Right.
Where you have starters that can go 6 or 7 innings and keep you, you know, give up just a couple of runs, keep your game, and you save your bullpen.
Well, now you're really going to think about this now with the 3 batters minimum face.
Yeah, this is all for, they think it's just going to shorten the length of the games. I think in my opinion, it's short-sighted. It's not going to have a huge impact.
I don't think that's going to have much of an impact at all.
And really, in reality, what this is going to do, it's going to spur more offense, which, what does that do to the length of the game?
Makes it take longer.
Let's give this a couple years. I'm not telling you guys it's right. I totally agree with you guys. I, in jest, when we talked about this weeks ago, said, yeah, let's do it. Why not? I get why baseball guy doesn't like this. Let's give this almost a couple years, though, because here's what their optimal goal is with this rule. It's to shorten the game, and they think this is what's going to bring and boost the ratings, correct? My stance, and I think we have the same one, is – no other league really bows down to the pressure or the fear of not having enough eyeballs quite like Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, NFL will change some rules if it's like overwhelmingly negative, but it's not about game length, right? It's like, well, we have something that's kind of a loophole, or we got this
right.
wrong.
The Let's catch, no it. Catch. Let's right. try and iron this out.
The NBA, they don't really do this at all because
they did this last season. They limited the amount of timeouts you can take into the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, like that's they didn't say, well, this is going to shorten our game, and that's what's going to bring young Generation Z people in. It was just,
yeah.
I think baseball is way overreacting to this stuff. And we'll find out, I think, in the next few years if this is truly going to help. And suddenly we read an article on USA Today about how baseball ratings for people 18 to 34 have gone up since they made these right. rule changes.
Right. If that doesn't exist after 2 years, scrap this rule. Because that's the only reason you're doing this in the long run is you think there's people turning off the game because there's too many pitching changes late. And you don't want that to happen.
Right.
Which I think is like you can change the channel during. It's no different than a quarter or a timeout in an NBA game. Like you can change the channel and surf around during baseball games. And the only time that these situations really ever happen are in close games. And don't you want your team to have a competitive advantage? If you have a deep bullpen with a lot of good pitchers, you want your team to have the advantage in those situations. And now it's all going simply to the offense where you can stagger your lineup with lefties and righties to make sure that if you get to the situation in the seventh or eighth inning, you're going to have a lefty on righty or a righty on lefty. Or as Swigard mentioned, the offense still has the ability to, if they want. There's a lot of teams that have guys that can start against, you know, depending on who's on the mound that day, you could bring in all right-handed bats to face a left-handed pitcher. If you want, that guy came in, he's got to face three hitters. Well, here we go. I'm going to sub in three right-handed hitters. We're going to score a couple of runs. It favors the offense completely. I think it takes strategy out of the game and it's short-sighted, but it's happening in 2020. The interesting part for the union on this, I was reading about it this morning, that the union doesn't really know how to go about attacking this because, as I mentioned, the hitters want it. The hitters love this rule. It's making their job easier.
Right.
And they're all for it. But the pitchers hate it. So you have a split in the players' union of half of your guys despising this rule and maybe eliminating some of their jobs, and the other half of your players' union loving this rule because it makes their job easier.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hitters are getting made fun of for their averages right now because it's long ball or strikeout.
Right, right. So it's a tricky one for Clark to follow. So, yeah, as I mentioned, the Major League Baseball has the ability to implement a rule a year in advance. Like, unilaterally, they don't need the support of the Players Association. They can do it, but they have to give a year's head up. So that's what they're doing now for the 2020 season. And the Players Association said they're not agreeing to it, but they're not going to challenge it.
Yeah.
So this is coming in 2020. Three-batter minimum in Major League Baseball, part of some of the new rules.
This listener says, want kids to go to the game. How about $5 tickets for under 18? Yeah. I got hooked by going to the game,
Amen.
Not by shorter games.
Amen. Make stuff cheaper. Make it easier. How about you expand to two more cities? Put ballparks in, you know, put baseball teams in different cities.
How about you don't
expand?
How about you just take two teams out of two cities that don't care about it?
There's a million ways to do it. This isn't one of them. That's just my sense on it, though. Hey, we'll get back into the NFL at the bottom of the hour. Now it's time to take a look inside Swag's bag of plums. What do we got today? That's next on The Fan. Hey, John Elway's a dinosaur, and Antonio Brown says he's not going to be a problem. We'll get to those coming up at the bottom of the hour. Beavers about to tip off down to the Pac-12 tournament. Your boy Gary Payton's down there on set hanging out.
What up, GP?
GP.
Hanging out.
Still look like he could ball.
He does still look like he could play
a little bit. He's got a little bit of the dad gut now, but yeah, he's still got kind of that same look.
Was he an Uncle Drew? He should have been an Uncle Drew.
Ooh, I don't know.
As a trash talker?
Oh, yeah.
I watched Uncle Drew one night when I was
having some fun.
I was having fun.
Yeah. Don't remember much from it? You don't remember if he was in it or not?
I remember the movie sucked.
Okay.
I remember
thinking
this movie was
that
terrible.
Seems like a fair thing to remember. Good thoughts on the baseball rule changes. Yeah, that stuff's nonsense to me. We'll see how it affects the game, though, in 2020. Now it is time to take a look inside Swigard's bag of plums. What do we got today, Swag?
March 14th is National Pi Day. That's P-I.
How many in can you get?
Not very far anymore.
Neil deGrasse Tyson put all the numbers.
Does he know that, though, or did he cheat?
How far did he get?
He tweeted the whole thing.
I mean,
not the whole thing.
It never ends. That's
I know.
The point.
He stopped at 4, so.
Okay.
There's a lot of numbers there.
How many? Yeah. I just know the 3.14. That's all I got.
3.14167453.
You could just be making this all up.
Yeah.
I did.
I used to be able to do that when I was.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. You're talking to somebody. Have I admitted this on the show?
What?
I won medals in math competitions when I was younger.
In math competitions?
Yeah, math.
You were a mathlete?
I was a mathlete.
What kind of math was your strength?
It's pretty fitting.
Yeah, I could see it.
I don't know. I don't remember much from it.
Really?
Long division and you're licking your lips?
Oh, they're in trouble.
They're in trouble.
It's like when a defense is backing off of you at the three-point line. Exactly. Just daring you to shoot on that long division.
Swigart looks like Leonardo DiCaprio when he bites his fist when they're like decimals. He's like,
I saw a tweet the other day, and I totally back it, and I think somebody should run on a national platform for this. Like, we need to get rid of nonsense math that has no purpose, that nobody needs or remembers or has any use for in daily life.
Well, unless you want to go be a NASA engineer or something.
Sure, you can take your side math classes.
Statistics is much more practical.
Well, how about we just do like a financing class? That's math. Balancing budgets. Taxation.
Well, that's economics there.
Sure,
economics and accounting.
It's much more applicable for lifelong success than Algebra 2.
How about we bring back civics classes?
I would love that too.
It's also National Potato Chip Day.
Yeah, give me pie.
Oh.
Over potato chips?
Oh, yeah.
Nah, chips all the way.
Yeah, no. So the story goes, August 24th, 1853, there was a...
Is this about pie or potato chips?
Potato chips.
African-American man invented them.
Unhappy restaurant customer complained his potatoes were too thick and soggy, kept sending them back, so Chef George Crum decided to slice them real thin and fry them, added some extra salt.
Ooh.
And the customer loved them. They became known as Saratoga chips.
Ooh.
And people started serving them, or it became known around there. And in the late 1870s, Saratoga chips became common on train cars, street carts, hotel restaurants. And then in the early 1900s, there were a couple of companies back. One in Ohio, Mike Sells Potato Chip Company. New England, Trisome Potato Chips were among the first companies to manufacture and sell.
Okay, what's your favorite chip?
So let's, hold on, before we dive into that, I want to clarify something here because you really upset me with your chip over pie thing.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Like, if I had to pick one thing.
I would take potato chips over pie any day of the week.
Any day of the week.
I couldn't.
You guys are
chips
wrong.
Chips are a normal part of my life. Pie is not.
Okay, but if you had to eat, you sit down and you eat one or the other.
One.
You can only choose potato chips, by the way. Not Cheetos, not Doritos.
Sure, that's
potato
fine.
Potato chips.
Yeah, like if I had to pick one for the rest of my life, I had to get rid of the other one. I would get rid of pie in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not telling you more often. I'm just saying if in one sitting, pie is better.
I got to be in the mood for pie.
What?
I gotta be in a pie mood.
So if you, what's the most standard
pie?
Apple pie?
Yeah, I don't like apple pie.
Yeah, I don't like.
Would you say that's the most standard pie though?
Maybe.
You got two anti-pie guys here, buddy.
I do not like fruit pies.
Am I alone here? What's going on?
Yeah. You're the only pie guy.
Am I on Mars? Where's Greg Herenda?
What is happening?
If you took just standard potato chips, Lay's classic.
Some Lay's.
Versus.
Bet you can't eat
apple
just one.
Pie.
Yeah, I'd take Lay's.
I'd take chips any
apple
day.
Apple pie wins.
Yeah. No, I'd rather eat Lay's potato
apple
chips.
Apple pie wins.
I'm crushing
pie.
The entire bag.
I'm eating the entire pie.
No.
Yes.
You're on an island.
No.
Some listeners might agree with you, but no, not us. You're never going to convince these two.
You guys are on
guys.
An island.
Little Smudge is eating potato chips.
Yeah, Smudge is all about the Lay's, baby.
Smudge is going to be face down in pie with chips next to the pie.
Just don't do what Jim did to the pie, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, well, we're not
there. By the way, my favorite potato chip, though, I don't know if this is too off the rocker for people, is the Kettle Sea Salt and Vinegar chip. That's my favorite chip.
I'm not a vinegar guy.
Not a vinegar. I love vinegar.
I like
cracked the vinegar,
black pepper.
The vinegar ones, well, initially, maybe that first couple are really good. I can't eat, like, the whole bag. Eventually, just gets overwhelming.
I also sometimes judge the chip on the finger lick. You know, the post finger lick? No.
As long as we're not talking about pie, I think this is okay.
Yeah. Whichever finger lick leaves the best taste, you go with that one. Sorry.
We move on to popsicles.
I had so many comments, but I'm glad we're just going to move on now to
Gordon's Gin has partnered with a company in Great Britain, and they will have gin and lime infused popsicles for sale. If you are heading across the pond.
Somebody said Swag is a mathlete. In other news, water is wet.
Yeah.
Yep.
How many did you win?
I don't know. I've got a bunch of medals sitting in a box somewhere in the garage.
You still have them. I love it.
Can we bring some of these in?
Why don't you hang those up in your office?
You should.
I'll go. I think they're in. Let me. This weekend, I will dig around in all those old cardboard boxes that have just been taking up space in the garage. I'll see if I can find them.
When they gave you medals, was it for participation or like top three?
No, it was like second place, third place, first place in one particular discipline or one test or
one
something.
I was really hoping it was going to go Greg Focker, where there's parents hang up the wall of mediocrity.
Right.
As De Niro called it.
What is
sixth
this?
Sixth place?
No. The wall of mediocrity.
By the way, those little hand pies that they sell at grocery stores at checkout, that's...
Oh, the little Hostess fruit pies?
Yes.
No, I do not like fruit pies.
I feel like I'm on an island of crazy people here.
The only one I would ever have of that was the chocolate cream one.
Oh, my God, yes.
They said at Park Rose, they give you a medal if you get on the right numbered bus.
Congratulations, Brandon. You made it today. Bus number 4.
These are all huge D words. You're all huge D words.
So is there, if you went and got a alcohol spiked popsicle, what would you prefer?
Alcohol spiked?
Certainly not whiskey. That just sounds gross.
It would have to be something vodka related, I would think.
I'm probably going to go rum.
I'm going
pineapple rum.
Are we talking like a mixed drink that you can turn into a popsicle? Like,
no,
can
this
I have
is
a margarita
an actual,
popsicle?
It's low alcohol, so it's only 0.5% alcohol by volume.
Pineapple rum, final
but
answer.
But it is gin and lime.
That's not bad.
Gordon's.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, so the company is called Pops. I guess they've done this before with some other distillers. But yeah. There's a watermelon martini-inspired ice lollipop, Bellini ones.
So, somebody said cherry limeade vodka. That sounds
That'd
delicious.
That'd be pretty good.
That
I'd go for
good.
A Negroni one. I think a Negroni one would be quite refreshing in the
Swag,
summer.
Swag, you and your Negronis, man.
He's all about the Negroni.
When is Negroni week around here, too? Portland's got a great Negroni week.
I don't
week.
Know. I'll just know it when you bring it in. Right. You're like, true. Guys, time to drink.
We'll
drink
at 2 on a Thursday.
Voodoo Donut now takes credit cards. They have
take credit cards?
Gone away from their cash-only policy.
Is it controversial to say that I've never been to Voodoo Donuts?
No, I've never been.
Okay. Wait.
Also, I don't know if I'd say controversial. I'm a little caught off guard by that statement. You've never once been there?
No.
Not in the Sandy location either?
No. I've eaten Voodoo Donuts because people bring them in occasionally to work.
They're in the work all the time, but I've never actually gone to it and been there.
That feels like one of those things that's like so Portland, it's not Portland. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, once it started going in the airport every day, you were like, all right, it's
like,
reached
its
point.
We get it.
The donut conversation could really take off here.
Yeah. But you love donuts too. I'm not a donut
guy. Huge donut guy.
Yeah.
I have not had one in like 6 months.
I'm a Blue Star guy.
See, Blue Star is good, but here is my thing. And I don't mean to offend anybody out there listening if you work at these establishments.
I'm offended.
I'm not paying $5.25 for a freaking donut.
Is that how much they are, Blue Star?
That should almost be the price for
much,
a dozen.
But they're... I think their basic ones are like $2.50 to $3 per.
Yeah, because what kind of donut? Are you talking like a simple basic donut or are you talking like a specialty donut?
So Donut Day is in Beaverton and it's owned by this just delightful Russian family. And they have fritters, pineapple fritters, blueberry fritters, apple fritters. Those are like $1.25. And you know what? They're so damn good. Or you go to Blue Star, and because they put Cocoa Puffs on your donut, it's $5.35. I just think there's like a hype level where it's good. Give me the common man donut every day.
Okay.
Joe's over there in Sandy.
You got hot takes on donuts.
I love me some donuts, and I love Blue Star. I think they're delicious. I'll go to those other establishments, I think, first for a dozen.
Okay.
Fallout from the big bribery admission scandal. Two Stanford students have filed a federal lawsuit seeking class action status, suing all of these universities for negligence, unfair competition, violations of consumer law.
Thank you.
saying that, yes, because they applied to several other schools, sure, as well, spent money in applications to apply, spent money to take the tests, all of those things.
Anybody wondering why those Asian students filed lawsuits for Harvard and Yale, making it harder for Asian kids to get in their, yep, schools now? You get it.
So, yeah, Stanford, USC, UCLA, San Diego, Texas, Austin, Wake Forest, Yale, Georgetown have all been named as defendants, and so they're, good, waiting to see what class action status could be.
Yeah, this is just the tip of the iceberg, yep, for this thing.
And tonight could be maybe a pivotal moment in the future of one Tesla and Elon Musk.
They're shutting everything down, aren't they?
Well, they said they were, and then they backtracked 2 weeks ago. Okay. Tonight, they are expected to have the full unveiling of their newest model, Model Y, which will be an SUV, but will be in the much more affordable price range somewhere.
Like $80,000?
35 to 45, because they had the Model 3 come out. That's 35,000.
My cousin just
bought one. On a 3-year back order.
Yeah.
When does he get it?
So this is the cool thing. I didn't know Tesla, when you actually go in there and you're a serious buyer, they'll give you the car for 24. I mean, not that this is not practical standards everywhere, but they give you the car for 24 hours and let you really just have it and see what
it's
like.
Take it home?
Yeah.
Trust you to bring it back.
It was in his garage, and I was like, are you going to get it? And he's like, I think so. And then I saw him a few weeks later, and he's like, yeah, I put in an order for one, and we put the down payment down.
So, yeah, there's some estimations from CNN. They think the demand for this car will be 50% higher than the Model 3. So we'll wait to see what sort of price range it actually falls into. But if all goes well, it might help bring them out of the funk that Elon Musk is PR-wise, as well as the stock of the company. Okay. So.
Is that because of his blunt smoking on the Joe Rogan podcast?
He's had a couple other things. Comment about selling his stock. Like, he's had a lot of FCC complaints, or SEC complaints.
I really want to get one, but
yeah. It'd be nice.
We'll see if this is really $35,000.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Those were good plums today. Good plums. Joe did, like, movie reviews last week. Was that last week or the week before?
Joe just does, like, chooses a movie.
We ended up talking about the Lego movie for 10 minutes. It was a whole thing.
Well, he's a huge Lego supporter.
He's a big Lego guy. So, good plums every Thursday at 2:15. Let's get to a couple of notes out of the NFL. Antonio Brown was introduced in Oakland yesterday. We'll play what he had to say. Also, John Elway is a dinosaur. That's next. Hey, Beef's just about to get underway in Las Vegas. We're taking on Colorado. Who's Oregon playing tonight? UCLA? Utah. They play with Utah tonight.
I was waiting on you to tell me that, man. That's your alma mater.
That's my squad, man. It's my squad.
Beavs are a 2-point favorite.
Okay. Are they going to win?
I mean, I really don't know, but I'm going to say sure.
Say yeah.
Go Beavs.
We'll go with the yes.
Go Beavs.
Go with the yes. Beavs just about to tip off in Vegas.
It'll be a bad look if they lose their very first game.
Yeah.
Because that's basically going to conclude the era of coaches' kids.
Sure. You don't think Tinkle's coming back? Doesn't he have another year?
Tinkle could come back, sure. But when I talk to a couple people down there, there's a little bit of uncertainty of, like, we don't know what he's going to do. He could come back, or he could go to Europe if he doesn't get drafted and make a lot of money.
And if he's graduated, he could be a graduate transfer, too.
I don't think he wants to play for anybody but his dad.
That would be a little weird if he left Pops.
Yeah.
That'd be a little strange for one more season. So, Pac-12 tournament going on. Washington got a close win over USC earlier, survived, and they're advancing in the Pac-12 tournament. Let's get to a couple NFL notes. John Elway, who is just known for his tremendous ability to find quarterbacks. Can we agree on that? Obviously being sarcastic, he struggled to find and develop the next quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Here he is talking about the addition of Joe Flacco in his quarterback philosophy.
You know, we just felt Joe was a good fit for us. We really feel like Joe has a lot of football left in him. And Gary is with him 3 or 4 years ago in Baltimore and in the system, and was very successful with that. So, you know, we thought that with Joe, with the availability and what the compensation was, that Joe was going to be a very good fit for us. You know, he's played under the center, and his arm strength is still great. He can still throw the ball downfield. And, you know, he's a guy that's won. Mm-hmm. He's proven he can win in this league and has a tremendous amount of experience. And so, you know, at 34 years old, thought he was just going into his prime. And so we're excited that Joe's here.
What have you learned about evaluating quarterbacks coming out in your years now that they've gone by?
Well, you know, I think the key thing for quarterbacks coming out is they got to be going into a system and they got to be comfortable in the system that you're going to provide for them. You know, you look at these young guys coming out, they're a lot different because they play a lot more in shotgun. The game that they play is a lot different than that we used to play when we came out. So it's a little harder to evaluate what you're looking for coming out. But there's a lot of good athletes and a lot of good players coming out. So, again, getting in the right situation.
So, okay, there's a lot of things we could unwind here. And I know you probably have Warren Sharp's Twitter up, who we had on about a month ago.
So just so he says, the things he likes about Flacco, one, is he's entering his prime.
At 34.
How about that? Prime at 34. Also that he plays a lot more in the shotgun. Warren plays under center. Warren Sharp says that the NFL the last 3 years, 79% of snaps have been taken from shotgun. Joe Flacco, 80% from shotgun last year. In the last 3 years, 73% of his snaps, shotgun.
Right.
So we don't like college kids because they play in the shotgun.
Kyler Murray, that was his beef on Kyler Murray. Yeah. He doesn't play under center. He's a shotgun guy. And
he's never going to get it, is he?
Well, you know, this is the thing, man. He won a Super Bowl and he convinced Peyton to get there and he drafted Von Miller. So let's give him his fair share of credit. But it is time to start really questioning and criticizing John Elway, as much as you may like him, Bronco fan. By the way, he can still sling it down the field. Joe Flacco had 6.5 yards per attempt. That put him 31st in the NFL last year. So he can still sling it down the field whole attempt is Eli Manning-like.
I hate takes like this. But there's John Elway.
It's because Joe Flacco is 6'6". I wish John Elway would just admit.
He likes him tall.
I love him 6'4 to 6'7".
He likes to climb those trees. So there's John Elway on his quarterback situation. Antonio Brown was introduced in Oakland yesterday. And he was late for his press conference. But at least the day before, he showed up to Derek Carr's house. He was acting all crazy. They went to a park and practiced a little bit. Here he is talking about the commitment level that he is going to have.
Every year I have to prove my love, so. This year, I'm out here to prove my love that what I could do and what I could be. You know, nothing in the NFL is ever guaranteed or set in stone. So I know these guys believe in me, but it's a lot for me to prove here. So I'm here to prove who I am and what I stand for, not just my words, but my actions. And, hopefully you guys see what I'm about, more so what I say, but more so what I do.
So he's saying he's going to prove it on the field. He also has some lofty goals, and he wants to break a certain someone's records.
My goal really is to catch Jerry Rice. I'm playing with a guy like Coach Gruden. Obviously, he know what it takes to keep me upright and fresh and to keep me out there for a long time. So, you know, securing this challenge is a challenge every year to prove my love for the game, you know, and I'm just taking it 1 year at a time. You know, obviously, my goal in the back of my mind to catch Jerry Rice.
You say tremendous? Or is he tremendous?
I couldn't tell. But he says he's not going to be a distraction on the field. He's committed. He's going to prove himself to the folks in Oakland, and he wants to pass Jerry Rice as the all-time leading receiver.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
No.
I'm out on him. That's been on the record several times, but I guess he could have a prove-it year and shut me up if he just goes out there and he produces. I never argue that. It is about the attitude. It's about the locker room. And we had a listener earlier said, hey, did you see the video? I guess there's a video. He went to Derek Carr's house.
Yeah.
And it's awkward. He's not.
He's a weird dude.
He's
man.
A little out there.
He has
a different
blonde
cat.
Mustache. Okay.
He used to. He got that dye out of his face.
If you have a blonde mustache, you're just a little weird.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Sometimes stereotypes are true. If you dye your mustache blonde, you're a little weird.
Look, I think John Gruden in Oakland took it on the chin so hard last year with the Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper stuff and not being a good team. That there is a part of me that not only thinks they are going to build for the future, but they also really want to win next year. Yeah. And I think that's why they made the trades and the signings that they have. And so we'll find out, man. We'll really get John Gruden to prove and show us that he can still coach at an elite level, because you are taking on quite the personality. For all the players, I saw Rich Gannon had come out and he said, this is a great fit because John has taken on a lot of different personality types throughout his career. And obviously he names Keyshawn Johnson as one of them, but he also put Jerry Rice in there, which I was kind of like, Jerry Rice wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll find out because being out of the league for 10 years, that was already controversial enough for a lot of people. Like, can you still coach? He debuts with a terrible season and then he goes and he signs Trent Brown. He trades for Antonio. They have 3 first round picks, him and Mike Mayock. It's kind of a prove-it year, I think, for a lot of Raider fans out there. Of like, you got a good quarterback.
Can you develop and can you get better?
Yep, I'm with you on that. And important to remind people that Oakland is a prime candidate to be on Hard Knocks this upcoming season. So get your popcorn ready. Two quick thoughts at the Better You Today text line. Somebody says, does he mean Jerry Bryce's career stats while he was with Oakland? That would be more feasible. And then somebody said, wait a minute, Joe Flacco's 6'6". He can average more yards falling forward with his arms extended than he can throwing the ball via pass. Yeah, that is.
Well, that we
is
short-sighted that. That if I'm a Bronco fan, I am really disturbed by that.
And a quick update, Colorado, 3 minutes into the game, just scored the first points.
Oh, just shut up.
It took them 3 minutes, but it's 2-0. Catch the fever in the Pac-12 tournament. We'll close out, answer some poll questions for you. Take a look ahead to tonight and update the Players' Championship next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. Isaac and Soup coming up top of the hour. Oregon State playing in their quarterfinal game of the Pac-12 tournament. They trail 9-4. They are struggling offensively. It took them 4 minutes and 40 seconds to make their first shot.
Yeah, but they're wearing some sweet-ass shorts, I'll tell you that much.
I do like those shorts. Those are clean unis. Colorado offensive fouls. So Oregon State down by 5 early. It's a pretty ugly game, but plenty of time left.
Anytime a defensive player falls in college, it's an offensive foul. And my long theory on this, because college is so horrific, the referees call offensive foul so often because they love to do the motion.
Yeah, it's a fun motion.
They love to punch it the other way.
Especially when you're on the home floor and the home guy goes down and you get to give the ball back to the offense.
I'm telling you, everything in college is an offensive foul.
Yeah.
It's never a surprise.
Well, we'll see if the Bees can get it going a little bit. 9-4 again, 6 minutes into the first half, 14 minutes left in their quarterfinal game. Oregon plays Utah tonight, 8:30. You can hear that one right here on The Fan. You do have a TNT doubleheader tonight. Does this do anything for you? You got L.A. at Toronto?
Nope. Clippers or Lakers?
Lakers.
No.
Toronto's a 9-point favorite at home. Next one up, your TNT nightcap is Dallas at Denver.
You can watch that
is
for Luka
playing? Or didn't he get dinged up in his last game?
Give me a second. God damn it,
Swag. I don't know.
You always got to ask the tough questions at the worst moments,
I have
don't
not
you?
Watched much Dallas basketball lately because they're not in the playoff picture.
No, this says Porzingis out on Vegas Insider. Doesn't have Luka.
So just the zinger. So you got that one. There's your second half of the TNT doubleheader tonight. If you're keeping an eye on the Western Conference playoff picture, you have two games to keep an eye on tonight. OKC, who got a win over Brooklyn last night, they are doing the Paul George return game. They're in Indiana at 4:00. The Pacers are a slight favorite, so we'll see if OKC can win there. They are currently in the 3 seed because they won last night and Houston lost.
Right.
So keep an eye on that one. OKC at Indiana, not a gimme by any stretch. And then Utah, who has been struggling lately, they are at home against Minnesota.
Yeah, they can't afford to keep losing. They're in the 8 seed right now.
Yeah.
You know, the other part, too, about that Western Conference race is Portland will win tomorrow.
They're at New Orleans, and New Orleans has been playing nobody.
Jrue Holiday is out. Etwan Moore is out. You don't need to dive into that game. I can tell you that much.
Yep, they should win tomorrow. So a chance to pick up a game, maybe if OKC or something loses tonight. Those are your games to keep an eye on. You also tonight, probably the thing that's on my radar the most as a sports fan this evening, outside of the thrilling Pac-12 tournament, will be the return of Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
He is back. They are on ESPN tonight. Duke is ranked number 5 in the country. They're playing Syracuse in the quarterfinal of the ACC tournament. He has not played, of course, since blowing out his shoe against North Carolina. So you get to see Zion again tonight, 6:00 on ESPN.
And I look forward to watching that one because I want to see what Zion looks like, what his minutes are. And Syracuse beat him in Duke, and then they responded without Zion and ended up beating them in the Carrier Dome.
Yeah, what R.J. Barrett, I think, went off in that game. So we'll see if Duke and UNC can rematch. UNC is taking on the Brothel Louisville. That game is at 4:00 on ESPN. So there's your look ahead to tonight. We do have a decent leaderboard going on in Florida right now. Players' Championship, one of the biggest tournaments of the year. Tiger Woods, at last check, was at 2 under par. I don't know if he's bogeyed or anything since then.
-1 now.
-1. So he poured bogey in on 14. So he's 1 under par. There's a guy to keep an eye on. But the leaderboard, Tommy Fleetwood is a top. Keegan Bradley, McIlroy's up there. Ryan Moore, aced. Had an ace today. He's at 5 under. So you got a decent leaderboard building up for a weekend. You're going to have a lot of low scores. John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Sergio, all going low as well today. We asked who's most likely to win the Pac-12 tournament. 59% of people said Oregon State.
Let's go.
Oregon.
Let's go.
They are down 15-6.
Yeah, well, your team's going to lose tonight against
the Fighting Utes.
Utah.
The two Utes.
The two Utes.
Utah's not very good. God, Oregon's going to win it,
The Ducks are going to win this tournament.
Swigart said this before it tipped off. He said they're going to win. Said it was going to happen. Put it on the board. There you go. Hey, we had Greg Herrenda.
Yeah.
On. He was the head coach, or is, I should say, the head coach of Fairleigh Dickinson. He was awesome. Go catch that. We'll podcast it after the show at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. Go find it. The rest of the show will be up there as well. Enjoy your sunny Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.